Stanley clung to the edge of the table and watched as Devon went into the kitchen and did something to what looked like a metal coffee pot plugged into the wall. Stanley couldn't understand why Devon didn't put the pot on the stove, which was right there. Only the pot began to rumble in under a minute, and Stanley didn't have time to explain that he didn't want coffee. Coffee in the trenches tasted like watered-down tar. There never was enough sugar in the world to make it taste good. If you drank too much of it, then you'd spent a good half hour afterwards squatting over a hastily dug trench, hoping you could get your pants up before another shell exploded. Devon took milk from a sleek-looking icebox that had an amazing wealth of food inside of it, and brought it and the cup of coffee over to the table. He pushed a bowl of what looked like brown sugar and looked at Stanley, eyebrows raised, as if he expected him to take over. "That's raw sugar," said Devon. "I was kind of on a health kick when I came to France and found that I liked it. Help yourself." Stanley added sugar to the coffee and a splash of milk, just to be sociable. He needed to go along with it so that Devon wouldn't get angry and throw him out into the rain, which had started to come down pretty hard now, sheets of it falling outside the large paned windows. But when he took a sip, the smoky smell of it hit him seconds before the taste did, and a warm sensation soothed his stomach, his insides.
"This is good,"
said Stanley, a little astonished.
"But that's an understatement. This is really good coffee. I never used to drink coffee until I enlisted, and everybody drinks it, so I had to, you know? It tastes bad and it smells bad, but usually it was the only thing that you could drink because something happened to the water rations, and if you went to the village to get water from one of their pumps, they'd stare at you and... Well, I drank a lot of bad coffee."
"You like my coffee?" asked Devon. Stanley was surprised to be asked that, as if Devon were truly worried rather than fishing for compliments. Plus, he'd managed to follow all of Stanley's nervous chatter and dismantle it to its essence.
"Yes, I like it. It's good," said Stanley.
He took another large swallow and felt the energy moving through him. He leaned back a little in the wooden chair. It creaked beneath him in a homey way, though he knew he shouldn't be at ease. Until he knew what Devon was going to do next, he needed to be as alert as if he had been captured by the enemy. "Hey, are you cold?" asked Devon. He took a step closer and looked about ready to place his palm across Stanley's forehead, as if to check to see if he had a fever.
"No,"
said Stanley with some defiance. "You're shaking like a leaf," said Devon. "Listen, why don't you get out of those wet clothes? I mean uniform. You can use the shower and I can loan you some clothes until we find out where you're supposed to be. Okay?" Stanley wanted to shout that it was not okay, that he was not okay, as Devon seemed to want him to be. It was bad enough to be stuck in a muddy trench with a radio that didn't work, realizing that he was the only one who wouldn't be missed if his next suicide mission went sideways. It was almost worse to be stuck in a warm kitchen, looking at an icebox that was about 10 times the size of the icebox back home, at a stove that looked like a stove on the top, but that had a bunch of lights and switches Stanley didn't recognize. There was a metal box on the kitchen counter that Stanley had no idea what it did, and another metal box below the counter that was currently growling and churning as if it were about to birth something from inside of it. The whole interior of the cottage was filled with half-familiar, half-bizarre things. Stanley realized how out of place he felt, and that he was shaking and sweating beneath his armpits, and freezing where his uniform was stuck to him, which was pretty much everywhere.
"I don't belong here,"
said Stanley, his lips numb.